You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
And that means that we are continuing, actually wrapping up our KFUO history series today. And we have gone through numerous episodes in this series. I don't remember what number we're on. Is this like 10?
No, 11? It's like 12 or 13 or 14 or something.
Yeah,
I can't
think
remember.
I think it's around 13 or 14. Something like that. And you know, as I went through the list, I thought, there could have been a lot more.
Absolutely.
But there just isn't time.
I mean, 100 years is a lot to cover.
Yes. In 14 episodes.
14 episodes. But one guest that we haven't talked with and heard her stories is Joni.
Yep.
Joni, how long were you on staff here at KFUO?
Just shy of 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your relationship with KFUO is longer than that. So let's go back to, it was your childhood, right? How was KFUO part of your childhood and your youth?
KFUO was always on. We had a radio in the kitchen. It was always on. You washed the dishes by it. You dried the dishes by it. You cooked food by it. You set the table by it. It was always there. And so I was always influenced by KFUO. Plus, as you all know, cousin Joni here, relatives all over the place from Perry County. And so Perry County is also part of the history of KFUO because these Lutherans came and settled in Perry County and came to St. Louis and built Concordia Seminary. And then we had KFUO and everything. So it really was truly a part of my life and a really blessed part. I mean, I remember when the Lord's Prayer was on, you stopped. Didn't matter what you were doing. You stopped, you folded your hands, and you prayed the Lord's Prayer. It was always something. KFUO wasn't just another radio station. KFUO was your visits with Jesus. And that's what formed me and formed my love for KFUO.
Do you remember any particular memories of things that you heard on KFUO or how your family would interact around whatever you were hearing on KFUO?
Well, the thing that I remember the most is you had a church of the week on KFUO. And each church would do, the whole week, they would do five five-minute messages for the morning, five-minute messages at lunchtime, okay? So a total of about 10 messages. So pastors would come up, especially like from Perry County. And if they, of course, pastors from St. Louis did it too, but they had some place to go. But these pastors from Perry County, I think they would record the first five in the morning at KFUO, and then they would drive to our house, they would rest, and then go back in the afternoon and do their other five. I can remember, I mean, our pastors, everyone on there, and it was always God's message. It was always them speaking about Jesus Christ and his love for you and his life. I do remember in particular one day, one pastor who was a pastor of ours, I mean, it was cloudy. It was just more than cloudy. It was just humongous clouds. And I remember him preaching that morning and saying, and I must have been recorded the week before, although maybe he did his live. He said, and you know Jesus is coming in the clouds, and who knows, he may come today. And boy, do I remember that. But the other thing I remember was they did farm reports on KFUO. And that was really important because so many farmers in Missouri and Illinois were listening to KFUO. And so they'd talk about hogs were selling at this much and wheat was selling at this much and cows were selling at this much. But when we'd go to my aunt and uncle's house, and they lived down in Perry County, and they had a farm, and that was always on because that was important to them to know what those animals are, whatever they were growing at the time, what it was selling for. So KFUO was feeding people in a number of different ways.
Mm-hmm. I love it. One of the pictures that we use, that we've been using on a lot of the marketing materials for the 100th is actually, I don't know who it is, but the caption of it is somebody reading the farm report. So
yeah,
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that back eons ago when I started in radio. Yeah, I remember doing those reports even on the weekends because that's what, you know, I started on weekends at, mm-hmm. at other stations. And I remember doing that at small town stations, sharing mm-hmm. those reports. Now, you mentioned Cousin Joni, and we have that joke certainly around here as well, that you're related to everyone, especially yes. in the Lutheran church. And you were talking about, you know, in your house with your family, when you were doing the dishes, when you were drying the dishes. Tell us a little bit more about your family. If I remember correctly, you have many siblings, right? So you're...
I do have many. I have seven siblings. And my father died when my youngest brother was 2, and my oldest brother was 18. And my mother had a 9th grade education. So she raised us cleaning houses. And that wasn't a lot of money, but she truly raised us day by day. I mean, she brought the money home. We went to the grocery store. She got enough Social Security. Back then, I want to tell you, I think it was $100 for a widow Social Security. There we go. And that paid for our rent and our gas and our electricity. But literally, but my mom had this strong faith. And I think that's why KFUO was so important to us too. And our church as well, because she said, don't worry, God will provide. And God did provide for us. And we saw that happen day by day. And even though we lost our father, and I would have loved to have had a human father, we certainly learned to depend on our Heavenly Father. And it was really a great way to grow up. I mean, we would sometimes, and I'm sure listeners out there would say the same thing, we would wear shoes, and you'd only get usually maybe 2 pairs of shoes a year. That was a good pair for church and Sunday school, and that was a pair to wear to school. And they would wear out, and you'd get a hole in them, and then you'd put cardboard in your shoe. And that's how you had the length of the shoe staying around. And then my mom would make hamburger in every way possible. And I would go to the grocery store, and you know what 2 pounds of hamburger looks like. It's not a lot of hamburger. That fed 9 people. 6 nights out of the week, we usually had hamburger in some sort of way. And I know God multiplied it. How do you feed 9 people on 2 pounds of hamburger? And then on Sundays, we got to have either chicken or roast beef, depending on what was on sale. And it would be like, then it would be like 19 cents a pound. Now you wish you couldn't even get a chicken wing for that. But it was a great way to grow up. And I know for so many of our listeners, they grew up this way also. And it was why you did depend, like I said, on God and on radio stations like KFUO, because that built up your faith. That said, no matter what's happening in my life, God is with me. And it gave you a confidence, an unbelievable confidence in your life that many other people didn't have.
How did that shape how you ended up at KFUO? Because I don't actually know how you ended up at KFUO.
Well, interesting story. I wasn't working at the time. I was the secretary to the nursing director for the city of St. Louis when I graduated from high school. I do not have a college education. We could not afford it. And that was okay. I had really nice jobs. Then I worked for an insurance agent. And then I took a few years off, and I actually took care of my nieces and nephews because Joe and I don't have any children. And I was blessed to be able to watch them. And then I decided I wanted to go back to work. My sister-in-law was working for Concordia Publishing House at the time, mm-hmm. and she said, Joni, there's an ad where KFUO needs a part-time receptionist. And I thought, that sounds interesting. And, you know, KFUO was, wow, I get to work at KFUO. So I went there and applied, and I was not their first choice. Their first choice did not accept it. I was their second choice, and I guess God wanted me here. And so that was in 1989, I believe, that I think 1987, that I took that position as a part-time receptionist. And then within about 4 months, I became an assistant, I guess it was to the AM general manager. And then from there, Paul Devantier, I just have to always thank him. He felt people were capable. You didn't have to have a degree in a certain field. You were capable. If you were capable of doing this, you were moved along. And so he just kind of moved me along. And eventually I became director of development for KFUO. But it was a it really was a blessing to work at KFUO. I'm not saying everything's perfect. You know, I don't want people to think there's a pie in the sky and KFUO's it. No, we're human beings. We're sinners. There's up days. There's down days. But it was a blessing to work at KFUO.
You had the opportunity, though, to really experience so many different aspects of the operation of KFUO, from being the receptionist to being an assistant to the general manager to helping produce programs, writing the, you know, gathering the stories for programs, gathering the stories to share. And that didn't stop when you retired, apparently, because you helped us do that for this series as well,
yep.
helping gather the stories to tell because you know what stories we want to share, the story of what God has done for his people, and hearing that in the lives of the people who are a part of KFUO for this series certainly has been a fun story to share as well. To then helping connect people as director of development, helping connect people to the opportunity to partner with KFUO so that we can continue doing what it is that we get to do. What are did I miss any of the responsibilities in there? Or were there other responsibilities you had at KFUO?
I got to take out the trash sometimes.
It's an important one, too.
And that kept us humble.
What, and I'm sure you enjoyed something about each of those. Did you have, maybe what was the highlight of some of the things that you got to do? What did you enjoy most about your time at KFUO?
Well, there were a number of things. Finding interviews, whether they were for the program I was on or for others. Learning about the LCMS and the many ministries that we have. You know, the average LCMS member has no idea of the RSOs, just the recognized service organizations. And often people are giving to other organizations, which are good organizations. I'm not saying that. But sometimes they're giving to them because they're saying, my church doesn't do this. And sometimes it's just because people need to be educated as to what we are doing, what kind of organizations. So I love that. I loved learning about the organizations, people who wrote books, people who were on mission trips, different things. I have to tell this, Andy, and it's not a criticism of you at all, but it was so funny because I would do some of these sometimes and get them all lined up. And Paul Clayton was another one. I would line them all up. I'd talk to these people and they'd say, oh, I'm nervous, I'm whatever. And I just ask them some questions and they'd answer them. And I'd say, that's what the interview's like. Oh, that'll be fine. And then I would write out, you know, because I'd have in my mind what this interview was going to sound like, where neither you nor Paul Clayton had spoken with these people. So you came from a totally different angle. And I'm sitting in my office saying, no, no, that's not what you're supposed to ask. But I learned from that, you know, we all see these interviews in a different way. And so things get answered. You were looking for something different than I was looking for. But that truly was one of my favorite things, just being able to speak with all these people. I would read all the district newspapers. I knew everything that was going on in the districts. I loved it. And when you went to a convention, I mean, it was just great mm-hmm. because I had all this information inside my head and I could talk to all these people about it. So for me, it was an education as well. But what I wanted to do was educate the listener on what was happening. The other thing was, yes, our partners. I mean, KFUO could not exist without our partners. And to meet our partners, to see the heart, the passion they had for KFUO. I've mentioned Joan Voges before. Joan and I even went to conventions together. Joan would write songs. She'd have them produced. She would pay for all of this, and she would hand us the CDs and say, here, give this to your listeners. And sometimes we would use it as something, you know, in a Christmas mailing and say, if you would like to donate to KFUO, we would like to send you this CD. Joan's message, I mean, there was a pastor who, and I may have mentioned this on a story before, but he was involved with International Student Ministry. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name right at this moment. But he received one of those where Joan did the Book of Psalms. He never said anything to me about these CDs until he became very ill. And he said to me, you know, I put that CD on my recorder, and he said, that was so comforting to me. And I thought, this is one of our partners, and they're letting us use this, and they're letting us use it to raise funds for KFUO. Then all the people who would give during Share-a-thon or gave on an annual basis, it was just, or maybe it was just a one-time gift, but they gave from their heart. I saw one family, I mean, they had children, and they wrote KFUO into part of their estate. It was like, yes, we want to help our children, but we want to make sure that this message is going out to the world. That really touched me, because KFUO would not exist without our partners.
We're chatting about the history of KFUO and the long tenure of Joni Harwell here on KFUO as we're wrapping up our series. Looking forward to the October 12th centennial celebration here at KFUO as we begin our 100th anniversary celebration with a special service of Thanksgiving at 10 a.m. on October 12th. And we'll continue the conversation with Joni in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
We are in our 100th anniversary series with Cousin Joni today. I'm so glad that we got to share more of your story, where you come from and how you came to KFUO as well, because I know in personal conversations, you probably shared that story with folks before, but to share that as officially part of the Coffee Hour History series too, for more listeners to hear and to know, you know, this key figure in the history of KFUO. Speaking of key figures, who are some of the interesting people you got to meet along the way? And I know there are hundreds, maybe thousands, that you got to meet along the way. You talked about going to conventions and other events where we get to meet people face-to-face that we've been talking to on the phone for years. But who are some of the key people that you got to meet, whether out in the field or working with here in the studios?
Well, I think I considered everybody key. I mean, you know, it was just fun meeting everybody. And it would be really difficult for me, I'm going to be 73, guys, to remember all these. But Betty Duda, who was an LWML president, the reason I remember her is it was a teaching moment for me. The current general manager of KFUO at that time, David Schultz, and myself went to, I believe it was the Central Illinois District Convention of the LWML. And Betty was a speaker there. And Betty talked, and these women would jump up and down and clap and everything. And I thought, oh, come on, this is a little bit too much. I mean, this is just another woman. I didn't know Betty. This is just another woman and whatever. And she goes on, and she talks and has very nice speech. So then we're leaving to come home, and Betty needs a ride to St. Louis because she was going to stay overnight and then fly to Florida. She lived in Florida. Well, we drove home in a van. Now, I wouldn't advise you to do this, but back then we had a 2-passenger KFUO van, and the third person had to sit in a summer seat. You know, just kind of, you sat there, and it was very dangerous, but we did it. But on the way home, I met Betty. And I met her heart for Jesus. And I mean, talk about a humbling experience. I realized then why these women were clapping and so enthused with her, because she had passion for Jesus. Like, I didn't have that passion like she did. Anyway, we get back to St. Louis and we go out to dinner, and she needs a hotel to stay in, and we can't find a hotel. We go to 2 or 3 of them because the Cubs were in town.
Oh.
So everything's full.
Oh, yep.
So what happens? I take Betty home with me. And
of course,
Betty stays at my house overnight.
This is not surprising at all.
But, you know, it's just a way that God teaches you sometimes. You think about somebody and you look at them in a certain way, and God teaches you, you're looking the wrong way here. And so Betty really left a big impression on me. And then I got to know several of the LWML presidents very well, and their heart, their passion. I knew several of the district presidents, but it was the women of the LWML who I loved going to conventions. I still love going to conventions because you hadn't seen each other for 2 years and you picked up right from where you left off. And that was so much fun just to be part of that.
That's definitely still a thing when we go to conventions. That is one of the best parts of being in a space like this, of just being able to see people at convention and catch up and talk with them. So, yes, it's definitely still a highlight. Now, you arranged the interviews for this series, so we got to learn a lot of stories as we were going along. What are some of the things that you learned during this series? Because you knew all of these people, and you've spent a lot more time with them than certainly I have. So what were some of the things that you've learned throughout doing this series?
Well, I think one of the best ones was with John Fisher.
Oh, I love John Fisher.
He is just such a gentle person.
Yes.
And to me, he is a gentle giant because, as I said, KFUO could not have been on the air without him. And I learned the passion he had for KFUO and being an engineer. I mean, even as a young person wanting to be an engineer, and how his daughter said at night he would come home from work and study the books for the next technology. And it wasn't a resentful thing. You know, most people, you get done with your work week and you say, I don't want to go home and deal with this. But he would study that at night. And everything he did to keep that station going, I just admire that man so much for what he did. Ron Clem, his passion for music. I know he was on the FM side, but he played a big part in the AM side in a lot of programming as well. But Ron, he made sure that with FM, we always focused on Jesus too. Yes, there was secular music there, but there was a lot of Christian music, and I knew that came from Ron Clem. Each person had their own. Don Matzit. He's a charmer, isn't he? I mean, Don and I, we just have so much fun together. But I will say, he taught me, and I believe a lot of listeners, because a lot of listeners really followed Don, the difference between law and gospel. And even though we grew up as Lutherans, we had that law hanging over our head, which we always do, but he really taught us how to focus on the gospel, how to know that Jesus Christ was our Savior. But if you don't mind, I wanted to talk about one thing, and that is the impact. You asked a little bit about that in the beginning, of what KFUO had on my life.
Yeah.
And it had a huge impact. You know, when you pray and you say, God, what would you have me do? When I look back now, you know, when I started as a part-time receptionist, I had no idea that I would end up going to all these conventions. And at one of those conventions, Joe and I met Jim and Edie Jorns at the Charlotte convention because it rained and we shared an umbrella. And because of that, we sat down at a table, had lunch with them, and they told us about Children's Christian Concern Society, which is now called Lead a Child. And we educate children in countries, underdeveloped countries, where there is a Lutheran presence. And as they sat at that table and they told us about this organization, we just were engrossed by it. About a year later, we went through Manhattan, Kansas, where they lived. We stopped, went to church, and they said, oh, come home and have breakfast with us. They told us about their trip to Guatemala that they were going on. Joe and I got in the car afterwards. I hope I don't tear up about this. And we looked at each other and said, we're going to Guatemala. Where did that come from? It's like, and it changed our lives because we went and met these little children who, you know, were learning about Jesus. And it just made such a big impression on us. Joe became a board member. I can't tell you how many thousands of miles he's biked across states, across the country of Guatemala, not just himself, but other bikers as well. But that was his first year was 1997. He and Jim Jorns did the first 2 days to raise funds for that organization for biking across Kansas. Then they started going, eventually they did country, Guatemala, they did all different kinds of states. And now these bikers raise about $50,000 a year on this. But it was just God opening this door that we never saw ourselves walking through. And because of that, we got involved in mission trips and we started going on mission trips. And all of it, and then we became the International House of Harwells because, you know, because growing up as a little white girl in a German community, you didn't get to experience all these other wonderful people in the world who knew Jesus the same way you did. Or maybe they didn't know him, but they had the same desires that you had. And it just changed our life. It made us the people who we are today, at least what's good in us.
Wow, so many connections made through your time at KFUO, and we're certainly grateful for the foundations that God laid through you, you know, all those relationships with partners and with guests and helping us with providing a foundation for a structure to follow too, for you know, making connections with guests as well. And we're so thankful that you came on as guest producer for this program, for this series. We're so thankful for the hours that you put into preparing this series so that we could tell these stories of the history of KFUO as we prepare for this wonderful celebration as well. And looking forward to celebrating 100 years. I know you're going to be here for the event as
well
to celebrate with us. So folks,
come meet Cousin Joni.
That's right. Joni, thank you so much for all that you've done to help us tell these stories.
Thank you. And I'm thankful that God has all of you here continuing on the ministry of KFUO.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Joni Harwell.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.